So good evening. It's great to see you all. As we jump in week number two of Manned Up, on becoming the solid godly man and women that God has called us to be. So last week we kicked things off talking about mentorship, and we look at how important it is to have those Pauls in our lives speaking into us, guiding us like Paul was to Timothy, and provide the very good guidance, planning, in building our lives. And that is super important. But here's the thing, right? Imagine you are building a house, you got the perfect plans, but if the foundation is shaky, like building on sand instead of rock, you know it. That house will not be standing no matter how good the plans are. Same with our lives. We need a solid foundation to build on, and that's where we're going tonight. So we move from like the plans to the foundation, and we're diving into what keeps you standing when everything around you is trying to pull you down, and we are digging into what it means to be like anchored in truth. Think about it. When the pressure is on, whether it's at work, at school, or at work, when temptation whispers like shortcuts, what keeps you firm and steady? And what are you anchored to? You know, without that anchor, you've got to know that feeling. It's like a boat sailing in the ocean without the anchor. And that drifting, the current, the pushing, the pulling, the waves, the drift, you know, the harmless white lies, the small compromise, the I would just row with it moment, create that stir, that subtle drifting, push, pull. Yes, you start off knowing where you want to be. But before you knew it, the drift keep pushing, pulling you, you end up somewhere else. That's what happened in life when we are not anchored. One small compromise, you know, just once, but then another, and before you knew it, you're miles away from where you wanted to be. And if we are honest, this is not uncommon to most of us. So why is this feelings about being adrift so common? Especially for you younger people navigating schools, college, jobs, and figuring out like relationship. What makes this unanchored life almost feel like normal? Well, there's lots of reason about it, you know. But that's first, number one is there's a culture conflict. Culture confusions, actually. It's loud out there. One minute, you know, the world is telling you that manhood is about being like strong, tough, and dominant. But the next day, any distinction between right and wrong, or even male and female, seems buried. You know, the biblical values are often got dismissed as outdated. So what are we supposed to believe? What are we supposed to be? And at the end of the day, we find ourselves so scared to commit to anything firm, right? We don't want to commit anything firm. And the sad part is we end up delay in becoming the very person that God is calling you to be. Then there's another side of the story, like the focus on the results. In school, what's important? Grades is important over the actual learning process. In sports, winning is everything. And in business, profits outweighs the ethics, right? We are wired. We are calibrated to ask the questions like, will it work? What's the payoff for me? can I get away with it? Instead of asking the much tougher, harder questions, is it right? Is this true? But does this honor God? This and justify the means mindset really sneak into our lives and constantly tempting us to like trade in the very core values of who we are for the quick win. And when we are not anchored with something like greater, the easier way out or the path of compromise almost always win. We want respect, we want approval, we want success, but who doesn't want it? But the question is like this, at what cost? And that's the real tension that we're facing tonight. Not tonight, but every day. Instant result versus the lasting and God-honoring integrity. And don't forget, we also have one key critical thing that we're really distracting us is fear. Fear of failing. If I stand for the truth, what if I flop? Fail of rejection. If I don't get a tag along, will I be left out? Fear of conflict. It's just easy to stay quiet. Fear of missing out, like everyone else doing it. I'm not the only one. When fear is in the driver's seat, our decisions often become some kind of like cost and benefit analysis. What do I gain or lose instead of what is right? This internal battle really leaves us like anxious, guilty, restless, with no peace at all, and it's absolutely, absolutely exhausting. Why so serious? I don't want to deal with it. That is in the back of most of people's mind. You and I know it's much easier to just go with the flow, bend the rules, and stay silent than to stand up for what is right. So when you mix that into the culture confusion, the result-driven pressures and fear, what will you get? The drift, the push, the pulling power, push you away from your anchor. And that tension is real and it's happening every day. So how do we break free from this cycle of drifting? The good news is that God has not left us adrift. He has given us a powerful and unshakable anchor, and that is the Word of God. And we see this clearly in Paul's letter to Timothy. You know that by now. You see, Paul was a mentor, a spiritual father, equipping Timothy, his young ministry partner, to lead and stand firm in difficult times. Listen to the anchor that Paul is pointing Timothy towards. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes these powerful words to Timothy. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, God, the good deposit, entrusts to you. Let's unpack this. Follow the pattern of sound words. Sound words here means the powerful, life-giving truth rooted in the gospel. It's like an architect's blueprint. Like these sound words give us a design for a life that can stand firm in difficult times. But you cannot just wing it. You have process. You have to follow the pattern without hesitation. And in fact, the truth was passed down from God through the scripture. Paul received it and he faithfully passed it to Timothy. It had history. It has the credibility. And that good deposit is a treasure of God's truth. And the gospel, and that is God, this is the gospel, and that is God's word. And it has been entrusted to Timothy, to the church, to you, to me, right here, right now. And Paul says, guard and protect it, not passively, but attentively. Why? Because the world is constantly trying to pull us away from that anchor. So we have to keep watch, keep watch. But the problem is like this. How do we manage such an important task? So this is a game changer. It's simple, but it's the game changer. Verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Boom. This is the thing, right? The Holy Spirit, God himself, who lives in us, empower us to understand God's word, to hold on to this anchor of truth, and to live it out with conviction and grace. And that's how we do it, by the Holy Spirit that empowers us. So from chapter 1 here, Paul is laying down like this. We have a pattern of sound words, which is God's words as our anchor, and a good deposit, which is the treasure that we have to protect, and the Holy Spirit, our divine helper, to enable us to live anchored lives. And that is the foundation that Paul is pointing Timothy and us towards. Now jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here at the start of the beginning of the chapter, Paul describes some really difficult times that will be coming. He paints a very vivid pictures, times when people will be like proud, disobedient, ungodly, and unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And Paul is warning Timothy, hey, that deception will go on from bad to worse. Does that sound a bit like our world today? Kind of like, at least I think so. So how does Timothy or any one of us be able to stay anchored in that mess? How can we do it? So Paul points to his own life. Verse 10 to 11. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering. Paul did not just talk about theory. He lived it out. He lived out that pattern of sound words, even when it cost him dearly. Through what? Remember Paul said? Through suffering and persecution, he anchored himself in the truth. His core values show up in his action. An anchor life for Paul is visible. For him, it's not just a private belief, you know. It's lived out in real decisions, especially when life gets tough. Then Paul goes on and gives Timothy the core instruction, and that is the absolute anchor points for Timothy and for us in verse 14 to 16. Let's lock it in on this. This is really huge. But as for you, continue. Timothy is given a clear command. Don't give up ground. Stay put. Hold fast. Continue in the truth you know. Stay anchored to it. Why? Because as Paul says, Timothy knew from whom you learned it. Timothy learned this truth from trusted people. His mother, Eunice. His grandmother, Lois, in chapter 1, 2 Timothy. And of course, Paul himself. And these were the people who lived their lives which were anchored in God's truth. But at the end of the day, ultimately, this truth came from what? It's the sacred writings, and that is the Word of God, which leads directly into the powerful powerhouse statement, verse 16. Look, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Church, this is important. This is the anchor. This is not a public opinion. This is not a personal feelings, but God's words. Why? Because it comes from God himself. He said, all scripture is breathed out by God himself. The word of God has the authority, has the wisdom, and it does not change with the seasons. You know, this Bible, the word of God, the scripture, is not just an ancient document to be admired from a distance. Not like that. It is profitable, which means it does something. It actively works in our lives when we engage with it as our anchor. For teaching, showing us what is true, who God is, who we are, how we live. For reproof, calling us out when we are off our line. For correction, guiding us back to the solid ground. And for training in righteousness, shaping us to be more like Christ as we live by its truth. And all this, ultimately, eventually, for what? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The word of God does not just hold us steady. It makes us whole and be ready for whatever God called us to be. This is important. But how do we lift it out? I'm telling you, this is very simple, but it's not easy. Simple, not easy. Make God's words your guide. Make decisions based on his word, not what's convenient or comfortable. Very simple, but not easy. This is where faith becomes action. When temptation whispers just once, you pause and ask, what does the scripture say? Does this honor Christ? This is a Sunday school teaching. Simple, but not easy. And when the small compromise, really, that small compromise comes, when that moment you are attempting to drift, try anchor your response in the sung words of God. Paul commands Timothy to continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. It is not enough just to agree with the scripture in theory. We need to let those sound words shape our action and our character day by day, even when no one is seeing it. I just want to be clear. I really want to be clear. It is simple, but it won't be easy. Because living anchor life often means that you are swimming upstream. You know that. The culture, the world, it's always desire what? Quick wins. The clever compromise. The easiest path. That's what they desire. But anchored people live different. I want you to remember this. When compromise looked easier, remember Daniel in Babylon. What he did, he refused the king's food even under huge pressure. God honored his faithfulness, Daniel chapter 1. And later on, when he prayed despite the debt fat to him, God shut the lion's mouth, Daniel chapter 6. He saved him from the lion's dens. And he reward his courage. Just think about this whole thing. When you swim against these waves of pressure and resistance, you join a legacy of those faithful men and women whom God has used powerfully, precisely because they dare to stand firm. Think about it one more time. When you swim against the waves of pressure and resistant, you join a legacy of those faithful men and women whom God has used powerfully precisely because they dare to stand firm. Here's the important notes for you guys. Paul did not leave Timothy or us a burden on our own. It's hard, right? But remember what we talked about before. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. That is the key. The Holy Spirit is your helper, your guide, your strength. So he is a practical step that I really want you to take a peek. Start each day, not with your phone, but in prayer. Guide me, please, O Lord. Empower me, Holy Spirit. In moments of pressure, whisper, like, Lord, please, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do? Please help. Then what you do? You step up and you step out, even when it's scary. At school, at work, in relationship, online, in every decision, some big or small, you consciously filtered it through God's word. We're not talking about like a rigid checklist, right? No, it's more of a mindset of staying connected to your anchor. This shift from reacting to pressure to intentionally following God's guidance, it's actually what builds a life firmly anchored in truth. We won't be perfect, and we will stumble. Me too. We all do. When you fall, confess, receive God's grace, and what do you do? Just re-anchor one more time. And when you live this way, something amazing will happen, I promise. We don't just survive. We will become different, build different, anchor in faith, and making us strong in the midst of the storms. And that, my friends, is what it means to be man up or women up God's way. In church, you know, let me tell you, this is not just a nice theory. I read it in a book. I want to share with you how this played out in my life, in my own life, because I believe, like the Apostle Paul often modeled, that what we preach should be something we have also lived. The idea of being anchored in God's truth has not just been a concept for me. It has been a lifeline in some very real and tough decisions and situations. And most of you know that I work in a company which manufactures chocolates and candies. So, some years ago, our company was sold to a venture capital firm. Now, if you know anything about venture capital, the primary goal is to maximize profit quickly so they can resell the company for more. With that new ownership came, a new CEO was brought in to shake things up, you know, normal, aggressively boost revenue. And around the same time, right now, right here at BC, the government legalized what? Marijuana. Suddenly, the cannabis business boom hit like crazy. The cannabis-infused candies were suddenly a big thing, right? From purely business perspective, it looks like a money-making machines, low-cost ingredients, high profit margin. And our new CEO saw this as the golden ticket to pump up the profits. For me, as a vice president of the company, I was part of the leadership team that back then. And that means that I was in the room when big decisions were being made. And at one board meeting, I remember, the CEO reviewed a proposal to build cannabis processing right into our plan. He saw this as a fast track to increasing company value. Yes, for him. But I was completely blindsided. But when the presentation rolled out, 7 out of the 8 board members were immediately enthusiastic, like great profits, fantastic market. That was me sitting at the table, last on the table, and my heart was pounding. And it was my turn to wade in. I had to say something, right? Honestly, I was taunted because the temptation to just tag along was huge. If I went along, you know, I'll be aligned with the majority shareholders and I'm safe. To be honest, it was the easiest path. But it just didn't sit right for me. Deep down, something felt fundamentally wrong about it. That the Word of God has shaken me, shake my worldview, and shake my core values, and the thought of our company producing something that was could potentially harm communities, families, and especially young people, it just didn't feel right. It just crushed me, everything I felt that God has placed in my heart. You know, scripture about being good stewards, about doing everything for His glory, about protecting the vulnerables. Those truths were kind of like ringing loud in my mind and heads all around the place. And I know that was my anger. But let me tell you, standing up front in that room at that moment was scary. Scary. My career felt like it was on the line. I could anticipate a bad impression with the board. They probably think that I'm not a team player or business savvy. I'm not like that person. So I cannot move up to the CEO, to become a CEO. Tough ones. But I'm just telling you, fear was screaming in my ears. Just go with it. Just go with it. Don't stir up trouble. Don't rock the boat. It's not worth it. Don't do it, Haynes. But I knew silence in that moment was a compromise, and it would be like choosing to drift from my anchor instead of holding it firm. Well, eventually, I remember that time I spoke up. I share my concerns. The board was shocked. And the CEO was very unhappy in arguing with me that cannabis, you know, it's not like cigarette. It would just add our pleasures. But I stand firm, anchored in what I believe. And you can imagine that meeting and in real tension. And I went home that night and decided, if we go into cannabis, I'm out. That was a terrifying thought because I have family to support. But I knew it was the right one for me because it was the only choice that aligned with my anchor. I did not just sit there. I pray hard over the next few months that the company would not go down that path. And you know what? The business plan eventually collapsed. For various reasons, it just didn't move forward. The last time I checked, the CEO moved on, and I am still there. But looking back, I'm telling you, was not easy, but it was absolutely worth it. Being anchored in the Word of God gave me the clarity and courage I need. And that's the difference between drifting up, drifting, and standing firm. And I believe that's one of those moments where you feel yourself growing up from a boy into a man of faith. So church, He's the call tonight. Life will hit you up with pressure, just like it did to me in that boardroom. Expect the pressure, okay? You will feel the pull, the push to take the easy way out, but you've got a choice to make. So will you stand firm with the noise screaming at you to compromise? For me, standing firm on God's words did not just save my job, it shaped who I am. Not perfect, not easy, but worth it. And you are not alone in this. You're not alone in this. The Word of God is your anchor. The Holy Spirit is your power. And this church, Koinonia, stands with you. Stand and pray. Lord God, thank you for not leaving us adrift in a confusing world. Thank you for the incredible, unchanging gift of your words. Father, help us by the Holy Spirit. Give us a fresh hunger for your word and a deep daily reliance on your Holy Spirit. Grant us the courage, Lord, real courage to stand firm and to choose the truth and to choose to walk in your way. Lord, help us day by day to become men and women who are truly built different, anchor firmly in your truth, and reflecting the character of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. Lord, help us to glorify your name. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.